entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. U.S. troops backed by tanks and helicopters battled Iraqi resistance fighters this morning near the town of Khalidiyah, west of Baghdad, and the U.S. military announced a series of raids aimed at those responsible for attacks against Americans north of the capital. Villagers said the clash began after Iraqi resistance fighters fired rocket-propelled grenades at an American convoy. U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad said they had no information about the Monday raids. To the north, the U.S. 4th Infantry Division launched 24 raids in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit and other areas, arresting 92 people and seizing weapons and ammunition. Washington, D.C. is wondering which top-level White House officials are responsible for revealing the identity of a CIA agent, touching off a firestorm of controversy and a possible Justice Department probe of the leak. Unnamed officials revealed the identity of the wife of Ambassador Joseph Wilson to 6 journalists in June. Wilson was sent by the CIA to Niger in 2002 to investigate a report that Iraq was trying to obtain uranium, but returned to say it was highly doubtful. The Washington Post reported on Sunday that 2 top White House officials called at least 6 Washington journalists and revealed the identity and occupation of Wilson's wife, apparently in retaliation for his conclusion, which undermined the position of the White House. President Bush's aides promised yesterday to cooperate with a Justice Department inquiry about the leak. An internal assessment by the Defense Intelligence Agency has concluded that most of the information provided by Iraqi defectors from the Iraqi National Congress was of little or no value. In addition, several Iraqi defectors brought forth by opposition leader Ahmed Chalabi invented or exaggerated their credentials as people with direct knowledge of the Iraqi government and its suspected unconventional weapons program. The information from the INC became the linchpin for the Bush administration's case for the war with Iraq. The White House disputes the DIA's assessment. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An American soldier stationed in Iraq married his Italian fiancée in a Montana double proxy ceremony that neither attended. Private First Class David Gaynor's parents exchanged vows Friday for the absent couple. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you. Information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions and, thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave, and the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else, a fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. Here we are broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast, border to border. Also, not only on terrestrial radio stations, but also on the Sirius satellite system and also on several different web broadcasting stations, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, radiopower.org. You can find all of these things along with a link to our chat room where you will find the most erudite conversations, interesting, sometimes even strange conversations on the internet, simply by going to tomhartman.com or liberaltalkradio.com or progressivetalkradio.com. They all point to the same place, and click on the chat room link. Today, day 231 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. We say here, we are defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Well, the weapons of mass destruction are still out missing, just like George W. Bush was for a year during his National Guard service. And this is day 231. About two-thirds as long as George W. was absent from the National Guard. Day 742, in the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of our president, Osama bin Laden. Why can't the Bush and Blair administrations tell us why we really went to war in Iraq? I've been doing some digging into this and putting two and two together, and I want to share something with you today in this first hour. By the way, just to let you know how our day is going to go, in our second hour, we're going to get into the question of, will the Wilson affair be seen as a greater crime than Monica or Watergate? Is this the beginning of something that's really going to blow up in the face of this administration? And in our third hour, how much damage has the Patriot Act done to American democracy? We're going to get into that. And sprinkled through the whole thing, we're going to be looking at the day's news, the events of the day, things that are happening today, and putting them in the context of American democracy, particularly in our third hour here, really get back into the Bill of Rights. What were the founding notions? Was our government organized to give us rights? I'm going to tell you why that's not the case. And, we'll get into that in the third hour. Anyhow, why can't the Bush and Blair administrations tell us why we really went to war in Iraq? I remember when I was a kid,
I must have been 7 or 8 years old. This is one of those, you know, kind of foggy memories. I had an uncle, my Uncle Sig. He was my grandfather's brother. So he was an old man when I was a little kid. And every year on our birthdays and at Christmas, he would send a card to each of, to all of us, me and my three younger brothers. And in that card would be a $5 bill. Or, that's my recollection, maybe it was 10, I don't know. But anyhow, there was cash. And I had this notion that Uncle Sig must be a millionaire. He must be just, you know, wealthy beyond imagination. That I was reading Donald Duck comic books back then, and Uncle Scrooge, he must have a money bin that you can, because he's sending us money. Nobody else sent us money. And I was like, whoa. Well, I didn't learn until I was much older, until I was in my teenage years when he died, that he was just a lifelong bachelor of middle-class means who had never had any kids of his own, and so he was very generous to the children and grandchildren of his brother, my grandfather. I mean, it was just his way of sort of having kids, I guess. But whatever, I remember one time we were at my grandfather's house, and I must have been 7 or 8 years old, and Uncle Sig was there, and my grandfather and my dad, and I don't remember who else was there. And we were sitting in the living room, and I said to Uncle Sig something to the effect of, how rich are you? Or how much money do you have? And I remember how embarrassed everybody was. I remember how, you know, Uncle Sig looked kind of startled, and my grandfather laughed, you know, because he called us the wrecking crew. He just always expected something crazy to come out of my mouth or one of my brother's. And my recollection is that my father changed the subject. Somebody changed the subject, and I never did get an answer to that question, and I wondered about it for years. But what I learned from that experience was that you don't talk about people's money. That, in fact, you embarrass people if you do it. And I would suggest to you that one of our taboos today that still exists and is even greater than our taboo about discussing sexuality is our taboo about discussing wealth. That people will talk about what age they lost their virginity, or they will talk about their sexual preferences or whatever. They'll discuss, you know, the Sex and the City episode on TV last week or whatever. I mean, you see open discussion of this on primetime TV. You don't see discussion of how much money people have, of wealth. It's not something that you hear at cocktail parties. It's not even something that good friends discuss with each other, unless it's a very private conversation. And I would suggest that there, and now, why am I raising this? This goes to the heart of the question that I'm posing here. Why can't the Bush and Blair administrations tell us why we really went to war in Iraq? If you study, here's the sequence. And there is a particular sequence to this. Let me just actually first share with you a few things out of today's news that help put this in perspective. First of all, here's a story from Friday's Wall Street Journal. OPEC puts brakes on further cuts. You'll recall OPEC last week announced that they were cutting back on the oil supply. Well, it turns out, according to this article, that they're saying, we're not going to cut the oil supply anymore. Now, they cut back on oil, which would raise the price of oil, right? As there's less oil, it becomes more valuable. So they took an action. They cut back by, as I recall, about 800,000 barrels a day. Which is roughly, by the way, 700,000 barrels a day is about the amount of oil that the Russians have brought into the market in the last 2 years, now that they're pumping their own oil from the former Soviet states. And so the world supply has increased, and in order to this increasing supply from the Russians, going back to around 1999-2000, had caused in November of 2000, a drastic drop in world oil prices. They got down to $19.15 a barrel. And that was the beginning of the paranoia on the part of Alan Greenspan and this administration, and not just this administration, economists right across the board in the United States and the UK, which are both oil-producing countries as well as major oil-consuming countries, the paranoia about deflation. See, everybody thinks that the reason we went to war with Iraq was to get their oil. I'm suggesting to you that's not the case. We didn't go to war with them to get their oil. We were already buying oil from them. 7% of the American imported oil was coming from Iraq before the war. We could have gotten their oil. I mean, so I'm suggesting we didn't go to war with them to get their oil. We attacked Iraq to control, to regulate the flow of their oil. And it's a completely different thing than having it. This is a really important distinction. When you get this, all of a sudden everything falls into place. All of the activity of this administration, what it is that they're willing to talk about, what it is that they're not willing to talk about, why all these diplomatic song and dances are happening, why Putin's over here, kissing George Bush, and why Mrs. Bush is going over to visit the president of France tomorrow. Why all these things? It all suddenly makes sense. It wasn't about getting the oil. It was about controlling it. Now, why did we want to control it? We wanted to control it because if too much Iraqi oil went into the market, into the world marketplace too fast, it would drive down the cost of oil, the price of oil, so far. If it went down well below $20 a barrel, which it easily could have done, it would trigger a massive deflation in the United States because so much of our economy is based on oil, both import, export, and consumption of oil. It would trigger a massive deflation, which was the thing that this administration and the Greenspan and that all these guys were terrified of. I mean, they've been panicking about deflation. We've talked about this on this program. And, you know, a lot of Americans don't even realize what is deflation. Well, deflation, basically, is the Great Depression. And if oil prices, see, there's only two bubbles that haven't burst. There are only two things that are keeping the United States from sliding into the abyss. I mean, so far we've slid into a serious recession because the stock market has crashed, consumer spending has declined, and personal income is declining. So we have the core stuff of deflation. Deflation is where there's less money flying around in circulation, and therefore the money becomes worth more. And it's called deflation. It's harder to get money. And so Greenspan has been trying to prevent that, to react against it by making money easier to get by lowering interest rates. Just shoveling cash out. And what I'm suggesting is that if you look at the documents that were leaked out of the Cheney meetings, when Cheney met with the oil industry executives from the multinational corporations headquartered in the United States before 9/11, and I'll put a link off our show topics page a little later on, where the actual link to this on the Judicial Watch website. You can find it on Judicial Watch, but it's a complicated site. That if you look at those documents, you see that Iraq had cut deals. They had actually signed agreements with three nations to provide them with virtually unlimited access to their oil and let them pump all they want as quickly as they could, as long as they brought in the technology to do it. And that was China, Russia, and France. And those three countries have all stubbornly resisted any willingness to participate in international, bilateral, or multilateral agreements, whether it's OPEC or independent of OPEC agreements, to control, that is, to limit the amount of oil in the world market. So what Cheney was looking at, I mean, you got a couple of oil industry CEOs as president and vice president. These guys are no dummies. They understand the consequences of this. What they were looking at was the possibility that if Saddam Hussein, if the embargo was stopped, and see, remember Hans Blix, his last trip into Iraq, he was going to certify that they had no weapons of mass destruction. It would have eliminated the embargoes. It would have allowed Russia, France, and China to start pumping all the oil they wanted. It would have crashed the price of oil worldwide and thrown the United States and the United Kingdom into a Great Depression and would have endangered the political survival of Tony Blair and George W. Bush. And that, my friends, is why we attacked Iraq. Because we had to get control of that oil, not because we needed it, because we could always get it one way or another, but because we needed to slow the flow of it into world markets. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
where our talking points come from Madison and Jefferson instead of right-wing think tanks in the RNC. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing immediatus, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman radio program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Job losses at a level of Great Depression contradict President Bush's wishful predictions. The Timken Company
an Ohio-based steel and bearings manufacturer. Remember back in April? Remember back in April when George Bush announced that he was his jobs and growth package. Jobs and growth package. And he was just, you know, gung-ho on this thing. And, you know, a big chunk of it, in fact, was about cutting taxes. In fact, I think I have a clip from that. Let's see if we have it here. This was Bush's...
Yep. ...of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief. We will help create more than 1 million new jobs by the end of 2004.
Okay, we're going to create 1 million new jobs. He said that in Ohio at the Timken Company. And the Timken Company this week, according to the Daily Mislead, the Timken Company this week announced that they are cutting 900 jobs. Welcome to the wonderful world of George W. Bush. Our discussion about oil, by the way, interesting, is some of the comments in the chat room, and I want to get to them, and I get back to them right after the bottom of the hour. But also, if you have thoughts on this, is it possible that we went to war with Iraq in order to prevent a recession from turning into a deflationary depression? Not to save the economy. Bush was hopeful that his tax cuts would save the economy. I think that, you know, he had surrounded himself with true believers, that he had actually come to believe in the Lafler curve and all the supply side nonsense. But to prevent an absolute economic disaster. And see, my point in the very beginning with my story about my uncle and my grandfather is that you don't talk about money. You don't talk about economics. It would be very unseemly. You know, especially in a nation like the United Kingdom where propriety is the big thing. You just don't discuss that. So do you think it's possible? I am increasingly convinced of this, and I'll share more evidence of it with you in just a few minutes. I want to get through a couple of other things first. Our quote for the day from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he talked about the four freedoms, his famous four freedoms speech. One of these days I'll dig this out and play it for you. It's just a brilliant speech. He says, the first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. Remember, this was back when America actually thought of itself as a beacon of liberty. The second is freedom of everyone to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want everywhere in the world. And the fourth is freedom from fear anywhere in the world. I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago this wealthy veterans thing, and somebody called last Thursday and said, do you have the backup on that? And I said I'd have it for you on Friday. Over the weekend, we finally got it. Here's a letter. This is on Senator Patrick Leahy's website. And Thursday, January 23rd of this year, Senator Patrick Leahy, Senator Jim Jeffords, and Congressman Bernie Sanders, the Vermont delegation, wrote a letter to the President of the United States saying, please stop this. This is January 23rd, Honorable George Bush, President of the United States. Dear Mr. President, we are writing to express our extreme disappointment at the administration's decision last week to bar over 160,000 eligible veterans from being able to enroll in the veterans' health care system. And they go on to point out that this is, you know, that you're cutting veterans, blah, 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 blah. And the administration's cutoff decision will severely hurt many low-income veterans. Under the announced policy, single veterans with an income over $25,000 and married veterans with a household income over $30,000 will not be allowed to enroll absent a service-connected disability. And then they say, you know, these people aren't rich, and how can you call them rich? This is the wealthy veterans exemption. This is what they were talking about. And yes, folks, it is real. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, Truth in Broadcasting. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A close call for the Immigrant Workers' Freedom Ride. Two buses with the Immigrant Rights Caravan were detained by Texas Border Patrol agents outside Santa Fe last Friday. Riders refused to show identification to the agents and were released following a flurry of phone calls to the Texas Border Patrol. Organizer Claudia Medina of Albuquerque, New Mexico, says she hopes the ride will help reunite immigrant workers with family members they haven't seen in years.
Most immigrant families take around 10 to 15 years to get a petition through INS approved.
Caravans originating from 10 cities began the Freedom Ride just over a week ago. They'll converge in Washington, D.C. later this week to call for greater labor and citizenship rights for immigrants.
The resignation of New York Stock Exchange Chairman Dick Grasso for negotiating a compensation package worth nearly $200 million was originally seen as a step in the right direction toward cleaning out the overzealous greed in the stock market. But new details have surfaced that suggest Grasso's departure was more along the lines of a golden parachute. According to his contract with the NYSE, Grasso could still receive about $57 million on his way out the door. He's already pledged to forego $48 million of that, but that pledge was never formalized in writing. Even so, it would still leave Grasso eligible to collect $9.7 million.
No contract for food service and maintenance workers at the University of Miami of Ohio. 860 members of AskMe Local 209 want a wage increase. Fewer than half of them earn more than $10 an hour. The workers went out on strike last Friday, and on Saturday they set up picket lines outside a football game against rival Cincinnati. No new talks are scheduled.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Is there anybody here who'd like to change his clothes into a uniform? Is there anybody here who thinks they're only serving on a raging storm? Is there anybody here with glory in their eyes, loyal to the end, whose duty is to die? I want to see him, I want to wish him luck, I want to shake his hand.
And welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Russia sends a message to the United States about Iraqi oil contracts. This from today's New York Times. The evidence for this hypothesis that I'm putting forward is starting to get pretty overwhelming. And we'll get into it in a little more detail here in just a moment. If you have thoughts on that, feel free to call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And share them with us. And Armand in Florida is on the line. Is it Armand or Ormond?
Armand.
Armand. That's what I thought. I can't quite read the... Yeah, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Armand. How are you today?
Just fine. How are you, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's up?
I think it's both. I think it's if you go back to the first Gulf War, it's obvious now looking back for almost anybody that can even function, you know, open the door to their home and go outside. So that includes about everybody. We were going into a nasty business cycle, and, you know, there's debates over why we were going into it, but I agree that it was the obsessiveness of the mindset of the Reaganites and the Bushites, and they just screwed the economy up royally with their great trickle theory that failed, and then they were buying off the phony commies that used to run the Soviet Union. They weren't really commies anyway, the ones in power, and they screwed the whole international business cycle up, and it was looking real bad. Bush knew it. Bush won, and they broke Iran pretty much financially in Iraq with the war instigating between the two of them, because they, of course, members to their crime family knew about PNAC was going to be implemented, because these people are, in my opinion, absolute vile criminals. They don't compete in a free market. You know, it's collusion for the criminal enterprises and the rich, and it's competition and free market for the fodder. But anyway, back to what happened in Gulf War One. It's apparent now that we had that terrible, terrible recession. We threw the idiot out, Bush won. And Saddam, he was in debt so much that he knew that the only way he could keep his country sovereign, they were in big-time debt because they borrowed so heavily for that war, was to dump his oil onto the global market and pay some of his debts to the international financiers that were in on it. You follow me?
Right, and I think he was hoping at the time that probably OPEC would cut back in response to his coming into the marketplace, so that he didn't crash the world price of oil.
But they only wanted $17 a barrel. When Bush got through with us, we were paying with the military complex and troops and all the oil consumption. A lot of people don't realize that one of the biggest oil consumers is the military. When they're shuffling all this garbage made in these slave factories all over the world, that sucks a lot of oil. And then when they're shuffling all the military around so they can make the slaves platform the junk back here to put Americans out of work, that sucks a lot of oil. So the oil company is the heart of evil in this country, in my opinion. They're vile, just like they've done to our medical system. It's an absolute monopoly. It's not a real free market. The thing will never work as a free market because the situation with the need and the emergency status of
healthcare. Well, you know, Armin, this is the battle that the administrations, that several administrations had with the Rockefeller family back in the 1880s and 1890s and all the way up into the early 20th century. This is what triggered the charter-mongering wars between the states in the 1890s. When Ohio kicked the Rockefeller Trust out, and he said, okay, every state in the Union right now makes it a felony to do what I'm doing, which is basically monopolizing a market. And he said, what state is willing to change their laws, because states charter corporations, so that what I'm doing is legal, and I'll move to that state. And then New Jersey said, well, we'll do it. And so he moved to New Jersey. And then New York said, well, we'll do it. And he started something there. And then Delaware said, well, we'll do it better than New Jersey. And then New Jersey said, well, we'll do it better than Delaware. And this competition started. It's called the charter-mongering area, where they were changing the charter laws, the laws that had to do with what a corporation is limited in what they can do and what they can't do. And it was all because of what was then big oil. And that brought about a major transformation in the role of corporations in America. I mean, probably the major transformation, because that was, I mean, when the founders set this country up, Jefferson went through a lengthy rant about how he wanted corporations to be under control. They had all seen what the British East India Company had done, and they didn't ever want that to happen again. They were all in favor of corporations. They were all in favor of business. They were all in favor of free enterprise. They were all scared to death of monopoly, of corporations getting so large that they could control markets. Or that they could influence government. And so they didn't put the word corporation into the Constitution. They threw this to the states, because the states, they figured, being local, would be able to react to the corporations and have power over them. And it was the oil industry, principally John Rockefeller, who first said, okay, you know, who faced them down, said, I dare you, who's going to flinch first? And the states flinched, and you know, here we are.
Yeah, but, you know, you've heard stories, and I have that you know, there's no bottom that the Rockefeller company will reach to achieve their means. And I've heard they've used thugs, just like Ford did, to try to keep the unions out.
Oh, it's well documented. There was a lot of testimony before Congress when the Sherman Antitrust Act was being put together. In fact, I have some quotes from it in my book, Unequal Protection. There have been entire books written about Rockefeller's business practices back in the 19th century.
And we all know now, I think, that have an open mind that it takes a particular special kind of person to be in politics, knowing what the whole, you know, mindset is at large.
Well, let's not completely generalize, Armin. I mean, I am very, very impressed by Bernie Sanders, Jim Jeffords, and Pat Leahy.
They're not in power. You try to get people like that with their agendas and their ideology. You try to get their bills through, and they won't. There's just overwhelming odds stacked against the good people that really care about the majority of the people in this country. The whole system is absolutely, in my opinion, totally corrupted as a whole. You can't get how many of the politicians, the Republicans or Democrats, in the history of this country have ever voted for their constituents what they voted for themselves before they voted for themselves what they did. You follow what I'm saying? None of them.
Yeah, I do, and I'd have to look that up. I mean, there actually are a lot of and oddly, it's mostly the conservative Republicans who vote against pay raises for Congress in the United States Congress. I mean, there are still some people of principle on the right, on the left, and in the middle.
There really are
out there, Armand.
Tom, you know that's just image and tokenry. You know that's not reality. This, you know, that's why the game keeps rolling down the track, and the image, the media is in lockstep with the whole system. In my opinion, you couldn't perpetrate 10% of what's being perpetrated if it wasn't for the major media. They go absolutely lockstep right along with it. They all have intermingling boards. It just couldn't come off the way it does without the
media. Okay, so Armin, let's say that you're right and it's all completely corrupted and there's nothing that can be done and okay, then what do you propose we do?
I'm going to say it, and I said it on this network many, many years ago when Chuck Carter had it. And I'm going to say it again and again and again. The Constitution doesn't say that you can bribe politicians. Bribery is not the same thing as freedom of expression and speech. These people, they demonize and they intertwine the meaning of these things, and they use it against the people like these radical liars that sit there and say that if you withhold the money out of the political system, that's denying people their freedom of speech. That's the biggest lie there ever was. If the Founding Fathers were at a table right now, I'd explain it to them in those terms and say, do you think people have the right to give politicians money to get special favors? Is that bribery, yes or no? And I guarantee you that the Founding Fathers would say, yes, that is
bribery. I absolutely agree with you, Armand. I absolutely agree
and
with
so
you.
So we got to get them. Okay, here's what we got to do to change it. I keep saying time and time again is you got to change and take the money out of politics.
If right.
You take the
Armin,
money
thanks
out
for
of
your
politics,
call.
You'll never.
I agree. I appreciate that. You know, we're 12 minutes on one topic here. You're spot on right, and I agree with you. And if you go back to the Boston versus Bilotti Supreme Court case, you'll see that was the beginning. It wasn't the beginning. That was the huge corruption of this process. And in that case, the Supreme Court justices went back to 1886 and they said, the court said that corporations are persons, and that, you'll discover, is the core of the problem. And that's the problem that needs to be solved. Why can't the Bush and Blair administrations tell us why we really went to war in Iraq? Russia sends message to U.S. about Iraqi oil contracts. Lukoil. Yesterday, Putin and Alexperov are in New York. These oil companies, these gas stations, have been bought up by Lukoil. Lukoil is hoping that its efforts to preserve its old Iraqi contracts gain some traction in the White House. This is the company, the Russian company, that had cut a deal with Iraq to buy Iraqi oil. And, you know, very straightforward. Russia, you know, and here this guy who is the owner of this company comes over here with Putin And New York Times, today's New York Times, this is an article by Neela Banerjee. Russia sends message to U.S. about Iraqi oil contracts. There's a great deal of speculation in Moscow these days that Russia would agree to send troops to help the American-led coalition in Iraq if the Bush administration moved to protect Russian oil interests in that country. So now it's starting to come out. And now we know what happened in that meeting with Bush and Putin a couple of days ago. And Putin basically came in and said, you know, we got a deal with Iraq that we get to pump that oil, and that's cheap oil. It's a buck and a half a barrel to produce that oil. It's bubbling out of the ground. It's among the cheapest oil in the world. And it's right by a deep water port where it can be exported. We don't have to run it across the top of Afghanistan on a pipeline or something. And or bring it across Iran. It's cheap and it's available. We want that oil. And Bush is saying, well, maybe, but, you know, we got to work these things out. No, yes, maybe. And there was no resolution. Why? Because Bush is afraid that if the Russians start pumping that oil, the Russians have already added 700,000 barrels a day to the worldwide supply of oil in the last 3 years, driving down the price of oil. And OPEC has had to cut their production an equal amount to compensate for it. The Bush administration is very concerned. And as would any administration, let me just put this in context. Anybody who's running this country, given the situation we have right now, would be very concerned if the price of oil got above $30 a barrel or below 20. Because if it gets below 20, we run the risk of a deflationary crash. And if it goes above 30, we run into the possibility, the probability of an inflationary spiral. So here from yesterday's meeting, Mr. Alexperov said that he knew of no such quid pro quo of oil for Russian military help, but he did not discount the possibility of Russian troops going to Iraq at some point. Sending troops, he said, is a political question. But if oil contracts go through quickly, we would have lots of Russian oil specialists on the ground, and every country should be able to protect its own people. In other words, he's going to send troops in if he gets this oil contract. And now here's why it may have sounded like I'm defending Bush. I'm not. What I'm saying is that these guys thought that they had to do this to prevent an economic disaster, and it may actually be true. But what caused this economic disaster? See, Jimmy Carter saw this thing coming. What caused this was Carter said, if we don't do something now, 20 years from now, we're going to be fighting wars for oil all around the world, and we're going to be at the mercy of the oil industry. And so he gave birth to an alternative energy industry with tax breaks for insulation, tax breaks for companies developing solar energy, wind energy, all kinds of. You remember there was a boom there, and Reagan came into office with money from the oil companies. And his first official act of office was to remove the solar collectors from the top, from the roof of the White House, and dismantled all those laws that had given birth to that industry that would have prevented this administration from being in this position. And still this administration doesn't have the courage to say, this is where we're at, this is why we got there, and yes, we're going to do something about it. No, they say, hey, we're addicts, we're going to stay addicts. And now we've got to control the supply of the substance that we're addicted to, because if it gets too expensive or too cheap, it'll be a problem. Kodak is on the line, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Kodak, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're in North Carolina today?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
Hey.
Great.
I am great. Yeah, thank you.
Well, my point was, I don't know if you mentioned it, I stepped out for a second, was the point that another reason that we went to war and it was imperative that we take over this region of the world is because Saddam Hussein's decision to go along with the European Union and change their monetary amount over from the U.S. dollars over to the new European monetary.
Yeah, the thing that, that Saddam was going to start denominating his current, his oil, he wanted to be paid in euros instead of dollars.
Exactly. And that,
yeah, and that would have been a problem too. But I'm telling you, that's a little problem compared to the fact that if suddenly 2 or 3 million barrels of oil a day appeared on the market, coming through the French Fina Elf Company, coming through Lukoil from the Soviet Union, and coming through the Chinese CNPAC cooperative, and then the South Koreans had a $4 billion deal that was cut but not finalized, and you find all this stuff in the Cheney documents. If that amount of oil hit the world marketplace, it would throw the United States into a Great Depression. It would have been the end of George Bush and Tony Blair's political careers.
Exactly. My last point is, I would like to encourage everyone to do not despair. I travel over this United States, and everywhere I go, I have yet to meet those percentage of people that agree that we are better off today than we were in the preceding years.
Well said, Kodak. Well said. Thank you. Do not despair. I agree. People are waking up all across America, and we are part of it. You are part of it. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good. You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween. Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood. And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to...
going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. The pill that will help you escape the matrix. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Tom Hartman here with you today. Is it possible that the invasion of Iraq was to keep oil prices up, not to keep them down, and that is the unspeakable thing, the thing that can't be discussed? And then look at the consequences of this. U.S. taxpayers footing the bill for cheap Iraqi gasoline. You know, gasoline sells for 10 cents a gallon in Iraq. And, of course, it sells for a lot more than that on the open market. And guess which company has been paid $562 million by American taxpayers to buy gasoline at market prices and sell it in Iraq at 10 cents a gallon? Halliburton. Surprise, surprise. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Phil in Florida is on the line. Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
I am great. How are you, Phil?
Okay. What's going on with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, is a prelude to what you're going to be seeing coming up for the 2004 election.
How so?
And that is, well, you know as well as I do, that to buy time on a radio station is cost per minute, and it's expensive, right?
Sure.
Well, from what I understand, Schwarzenegger is getting millions of dollars of free advertising through advocacy by right-wing talk show hosts. Whether it's Bill and Ken on KFI or...
As did George Bush, as did Ronald Reagan. Yeah, ever since the advent of right-wing talk radio and the end of the Fairness Doctrine in 87, 88, yes.
Exactly.
Got about a minute left here, by the way, Phil.
It amounts to an unreported contribution. And it could very well bring Arnold Schwarzenegger into the governorship. Because they're screaming as though California is falling off the ledge into the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And something has to be done, and Arnold's, you know, the science fiction character is the only person that knows what to do.
And with the exception of the stations that carry this network and this program, California's AM dial is wall-to-wall talk, right-wing talk radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Final point, Phil, there's the music. We got to wrap this thing up.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Phil. This is an issue. It's an issue for a larger time, though, I think. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us this hour. Stick around. We'll be right back after the news with the question, would the Willa Wilson affair be seen as a greater crime than Monica or Watergate? You may be surprised. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Washington, D.C. is wondering which top-level White House officials are responsible for revealing the identity of a CIA agent, touching off a firestorm of controversy and a possible Justice Department probe of the leak. Unnamed officials revealed the identity of the wife of Ambassador Joseph Wilson to six journalists in June. Wilson was sent by the CIA to Niger in 2002 to investigate a report that Iraq was trying to obtain uranium, but returned to say it was highly doubtful. The Washington Post reported on Sunday that two top White House officials called at least six Washington journalists and revealed the identity and occupation of Wilson's wife, apparently in retaliation for his conclusion, which undermined the position of the White House. President Bush's aides promised yesterday to cooperate with a Justice Department inquiry about the leak. U.S. troops backed by tanks and helicopters battled Iraqi resistance fighters this morning near the town of Khalidiyah west of Baghdad, and the U.S. military announced a series of raids aimed at those responsible for attacks against Americans north of the capital. Villagers said the clash began after Iraqi resistance fighters fired rocket-propelled grenades at an American convoy. U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad said they had no information about the Monday raids. To the north, the U.S. 4th Infantry Division launched two dozen raids in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit and other areas, arresting 92 people and seizing weapons and ammunition. An internal assessment by the Defense Intelligence Agency has concluded that most of the information provided by Iraqi defectors from the Iraqi National Congress was of little or no value. In addition, several Iraqi defectors brought forth by opposition leader Ahmed Chalabi invented or exaggerated their credentials as people with direct knowledge of the Iraqi government and its suspected unconventional weapons program. The information from the INC became the linchpin for the Bush administration's case for the war with Iraq. The White House disputes the DIA's assessment. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An American soldier stationed in Iraq married his Italian fiancé in a Montana double proxy ceremony that neither attended. Private First Class David Gaynor's parents exchanged vows Friday for the absent couple. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King.
A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you, information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions, and thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else? A fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, and believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Speaking from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. Today, the White House, just hours ago, emphatically, according to the Associated Press, an article by Deb Reichman, emphatically denied that President Bush's chief political strategist, Karl Rove, was involved in revealing the identity of a CIA operative. Emphatically. Scott McClellan, the new White House press secretary, said he wasn't involved. The president knows he wasn't involved. It's simply not true. Well, interesting. You know, is Karl Rove in trouble? Here's what Joseph Wilson, let me share with you what Joseph Wilson thinks about this, and then we'll get into this a little bit here, what actually happened. Here's Joe Wilson's thoughts on the matter.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't think we're going to let this drop. At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
Whoa. Now, that was an applause line.
And he said, you know, Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs. And then he says there's a reason why he said that.
And trust me, when I use that name, I measure my words.
This is a former ambassador. This is a guy who knows the importance of every single word he speaks. So what is he talking about? Frog marching Karl Rove out of the White House in handcuffs? Well, first of all, it turns out back in 1982, a law was passed. This actually, it goes back a little farther than that, the start of this thing. Back in 1975, there was a CIA agent in Greece, in Athens. His name was Richard Welch. And there was this November 17th. They are now defunct because the Greeks appropriately did not declare war on them and thus elevate them in status and stature and make them seem noble to their followers, but instead said, these guys are common criminals and thugs, and sicked the police on them. And thus everybody thought of them as bums and no-gooders, and they're just not there anymore. So anyhow, there's this Greek terrorist group, November 17th. And a magazine, Counterspy, which is one of these kind of magazines for guys who want to be spies kind of things. You know, it's the guys who I don't want to pick on them. I mean, it can be fun stuff. I've been on the rifle range. I've fired Uzis. It's entertaining. Anyhow, this magazine for these guys who want to be spies, Counterspy, ran an article that named, and it wasn't like some big doop-de-doo, here it is. It was just mentioned in the course of an article that Richard Welch, that there was a CIA officer in Greece by the name of Richard Welch. Now, the problem, the big problem with naming a CIA officer is not always the officer themselves. I mean, that is, of course, a problem. But the larger problem is that in the intelligence world, people will put two and two together. Let's say that Welch was posing as a oil industry executive, as if nobody who has posed as an oil industry executive has ever worked for the CIA. Interesting, by the way, there's an interesting pile of rather solid evidence that George Bush Sr. was working for the CIA when he first went to Texas and started Zapata Oil Company, which never found any oil, but somehow he managed to get rich on it. And then, of course, he ended up as director of the CIA. But anyhow, let's say that Richard Welch was a CIA agent, but he was pretending to be an oil executive. And so as the oil executive, of course, he would be meeting with the people in Greece who he was controlling, he was running. And, you know, you can't hide these meetings. You meet in restaurants, whatever. And the people would say, well, you know, I'm doing some investing in this oil business, or and they would have their little phony companies, and it would all look like it was just a business deal. And, you know, people would know who knew Welch because he's this businessman from the United States in the oil business. I don't frankly remember what his cover story was. It was told at the time, but that was, 25 years ago, 28 years ago. And so anyhow, but let's say that was it. And then this magazine, Counterspy, comes along and says, by the way, this guy Richard Welch in Athens, he's a CIA agent. Now, number one, they put him at risk. And in fact, he was killed. He was assassinated by this November 17 terrorist group. But perhaps even worse, from the point of view of an intelligence agency, everybody in Athens who had ever had dinner with this guy suddenly is suspect. Their cover is blown, not just his. And that can be the really terrible outcome I mean, so I forget who the guy was. I want to say Kim Philby, but that's an older one. One of the more recent guys, when he was outed, this was an American who was spying within this, as I recall, within the Soviet Union. When he was outed, a whole bunch of the people that he had business relationships with, as you know, were just rounded up, herded, taken off, and executed. Or tried and put in prison. I mean, the when you out an intelligence agent, particularly an intelligence agent who is working in areas of what you might call really hot areas, like terrorism, or verification of nuclear weapons, or trying to find out what's going on within the intelligence agencies of another nation, counterintelligence. When you out an agent like that, you don't just bring down one person. You bring down an entire network. It can be a few people. It can be dozens of people. It can be hundreds of people. You undo what could be years, decades of work. I mean, like it or not, we live in a world where this sort of thing has some necessity. That's not to say that I think that the CIA has always comported themselves admirably. We could look back at all the stuff they did against Castro that is all now public record, Operation Mongoose and exploding cigars and on and on and on. And but so somebody at the White House called up six different news agencies. To report this. And in just a second, I'm going to read you what the law says about that. First, we've got Pablo on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to call. 1-800-825-5937. Pablo in Santa Fe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, Pablo. How are you?
Great. Yeah, what you're talking about, the Ambassador Wilson and his wife, the CIA agent, the whole thing going on. It's interesting that it's taken, several months for this to finally break on the major news outlets.
As did Watergate and as did Monica.
Yeah. And this conceivably is as big as Watergate, but I don't think it'll work out that way just because the mainstream press is so much, has such a close relationship to those in power now, that their interests are somewhat the same to some degree.
If you're talking about the ownership of the mainstream media, I agree.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the people who are doing the reporting, I disagree. And I think that although some of the White House correspondents certainly have an obligation, obligation is the wrong word, they have to suck up to the White House or they get bounced out. They get the Helen Thomas treatment. But I'm not sure that the grand conspiracy theory is as neat as you're suggesting.
Yeah, not so cut and dry than that, but one of the reporters who apparently, a report I heard, who received this information was Andrea Mitchell of NBC News.
Yes.
And we haven't heard a thing of her in the past couple months about this.
Well, she chose she chose not to report it. And in fact, I've got a story here about it I was going to get to, where she said, this is not an appropriate thing to do. But apparently of the six, all three networks were contacted, and six different reporters that we know of now have been contacted by these two people inside the Bush White House. And in an overt and explicit attempt to burn a CIA agent, Joe Wilson's wife, and for reasons unknown, although it was on July 6th, as I recall. Again, I've got the story. I haven't worked my way quite down to it yet. July 6th, that Joe Wilson came back and said there's no uranium in Niger and this whole thing, it was a phony. And he spoke out. And it was just a few days later, that his wife got outed, that these phone calls were being made. So there are some who think that this was a revenge attack by Rove and Bush. I mean, George Bush is somebody who does not take slights lightly. He can be a very mean and angry man. You look at his political history and his business history and talk to the people who have known him over the course of his life. And this is a guy, number one, with a temper, and number two, who delights in revenge. And so, you know, it could have come from him. I frankly doubt it. I suspect this happened lower down the food chain. And Joe Wilson apparently thinks it was Karl Rove.
My point is that if Andrea Mitchell or others, you know, were contacted and realizing this is a possible felony, the big story is the Bush administration trying to do this to the agent, not the name of the agent. So why didn't they do a story without naming her?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. And what they're all saying is we didn't realize at the time, you know, what a big deal this is. Pablo, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Donnie, come on in here. We got about 30 seconds. If you've got something quicker, I can hold you over the break. This is Donnie. I'm not sure where you're calling. Oh, Don in New York. Okay.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm great. What's up, Don?
Don Waller that's doing the IE American Network news starting today for you.
Hey, you know, I wanted to congratulate you guys. TakeBackTheMedia.com is a great organization, and your newscasts are brilliant.
Thank you. Well, we're only two in, so we'll see how it pans out. I wanted to talk to you about the Joe Wilson thing. I don't know if you're aware of it.
Don, hold that thought, okay? We've got a hard break here. We got to pay the bills. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you. Information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions and, thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else, a fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 70 people dead? As a result of this effort, we know for sure of one person who is dead as a result of something very similar, the Kelly affair, David Kelly in Great Britain. He was outed in the same way, over the same issue, as was Joe Wilson's wife. Anyhow, we're talking with Don in New York here on this topic, and Don from TakeBackTheMedia.com and our reporter of the news here. Don, yeah. you had a point you were going
to
make there.
Well, you know, I have to take issue with what your last caller said about this thing not getting anywhere. The White House press briefing today was a food fight, and they peppered Scott McClellan with questions on this for better than 35 minutes. He could not get them to get off the topic.
Were you there?
No, I was watching it on C-SPAN just like everybody else. But this story is spreading out in so many different directions. I'm sure you're familiar with a guy named Joshua Micah Marshall, who does a website called Talking Points Memo.
Yeah.
Well, Josh has got a historical footnote on his site today. It seems that history is repeating itself in one respect. He refers to a guy named Ron Suskind, who wrote an article for Esquire magazine in January talking about Karl Rove. And it seems that in 1992, Karl Rove was an employee of the George Herbert Walker Bush presidential campaign, and he got fired. And the reason he got fired was he leaked a negative story about Robert Mosbacher to none other than Bob Novak. Is this starting to sound familiar at this point?
Whoa!
Yeah. So, you know,
Was that brought up at the press conference?
No, nobody brought it up. You know, I'll tell you that the press corps does not seem to use the Internet to much advantage. And if a couple of them got on and started reading people like Atrios or Josh Marshall, they'd be loaded for bear when they went in to see McClellan.
It'd be spooky. Yeah.
But, yeah, you should, if you get a chance.
I'm sure Russell Mokaber was in there raising his hand. It's just that he rarely gets called on. If you see what used to be the Ari and I, and they're now the Scotty and me, I think it's on commondreams.org. Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. But I'll tell you, that press conference was definitely something to see. Three reporters that I counted brought up the topic of Bush promised to restore honor and dignity to the White House. What happened here? And I counted three separate questions about not if, but when a special prosecutor will be appointed to look into this.
So, well, there can't be a special prosecutor right now because the special prosecutor law has expired.
Well,
there can be an independent counsel.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification there. But that was brought up on three different occasions by three different reporters. So to your former caller, I would say if you can watch C-SPAN tomorrow, watch the press conference, and Chuck Schumer from New York, the congressman from New York, has a 3 o'clock press conference today, and he's going to call for an independent investigation of this because, according to him, he doesn't think John Ashcroft can do the job.
Yeah, see, I mean, he's been calling for this since just after it happened, since July, as I recall.
Well, you know, you have to wonder. I mean, if. You know, as these guys brought up in the press conference, if there's such an emphasis on a tight ship and honor and dignity and doing the right thing in the White House, why, when this report came out in late June or early July, have they essentially ignored it until...
Well, there's never been that emphasis in this White House. The emphasis, Don, in this White House has been on appearance, not on substance. I mean, George Bush says we're going to make the air cleaner, and then he allows power plants to pollute more. He says we're going to make the water cleaner, and he cuts down mercury and arsenic levels. He says we're going to create jobs, and he gives money to the rich. He says we're going to cut middle class taxes, and instead he borrows money from everybody, from our children and grandchildren, to give to his rich buddies. I mean, it's all about style and nothing about substance here. So.
You're absolutely right. And it goes back to John DiIulio's quote when he wrote that letter about why he was...
Got about 3 seconds here, Don.
He brought up that it's all about politics and there's nothing...
It's all about politics. That's it. Don, thank you very much. It's Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
An astronomer says street lamps that use shields can provide plenty of light and fight light pollution at the same time. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. We use all kinds of outdoor lights at night to illuminate streets and parking lots, but a lot of that light is wasted. It goes out in all directions instead of just straight down. The wasted energy costs money, and the light pollution blots out the evening stars. Dan Green is an astronomer at the Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and he's a founding member of the New England Light Pollution Advisory Group. Green says shields on streetlights are one example of how we could cut light pollution and also save energy and money.
With one swoop, you'll actually be cutting down on light trespass and glare. And at the same time, you'll have energy savings, which translates directly into taxpayer savings, because almost every streetlight out there is taxpayer-funded. And this actually translates into quite a lot of money. And in this day and age, when we have a lot of budget shortfalls, it's something that people should look at probably a little more closely.
Shields on lights are hoods or reflectors that direct light from a lamp toward the ground. Green says shielded lights are effective and save energy. He says lamps that are not shielded often require high-energy bulbs to do their job, and a lot of that energy is wasted.
If you have a totally unshielded light, in some cases, believe it or not, 80% to 90% of the light is going outward and upward, not downward, where it is intended to be used and where it's useful.
Green says shielded fixtures are becoming a more common sight in lighting stores, and manufacturers are tapping into a market for them that's growing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mm-hmm.
millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Won't you give me back my job again? I don't.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman in the Democracy Zone here, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. And that was Tom Rush, an old friend and a brilliant musician. Boy, is he good. I could listen to Tom Rush for hours and hours and hours. Anyhow, here's the law. Back in 1975, Richard Welch gets burned and assassinated by the Greek terrorists, and members and the people that he was associated with are hurt. And so in 1982, Congress passed a law. And here's what the law says. First of all, it talks about somebody, for example, in the White House with a security clearance doing this kind of thing. This is Section 421 of the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982. And I quote, "Whoever having or having had authorized access to classified information that identifies a covert agent intentionally discloses any information identifying such covert agent to any individual not authorized to receive classified information, knowing that the information disclosed so identifies such covert agent, and that the United States is taking affirmative efforts to conceal such covert agent's intelligence relationship to the United States, shall be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both." Okay. So when Joe Wilson says that his hope is, well, here as he says.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't think we're going to let this drop. At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
So when he says he's wondering whether he can make that happen, this is the law, the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982, 10 years in prison plus fines. Now, what about Robert Novak, the only one of all the journalists who was willing to burn a CIA agent in public, who wrote his article for the Chicago, whichever paper, I think it's the Chicago Sun-Times is the home paper, but it's syndicated more than 300 newspapers. Robert Novak. Here's what the law says about people. Well, here, the Section C, disclosure of information by persons in course of pattern of activities intended to identify and expose covert agents. And I'm quoting from the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982 as passed by Congress and signed by the President, Section 421. Whoever, even if his name is Bob Novak, whoever, in the course of a pattern of activities intended to identify and expose covert agents, and with reason to believe that such activities would impair or impede the foreign intelligence activities of the United States, discloses any information that identifies an individual as a covert agent to any individual not authorized to receive classified information. See, this isn't just writing about it in a newspaper. This is telling your next-door neighbor. I mean, think about, you know, writing it in the newspaper is like, whoa. "Knowing that the information disclosed so identifies such individual and that the United States is taking affirmative measures to conceal such individual's classified intelligence relationship to the United States shall be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both." So Rove or George W. Bush or whoever authorized and executed this plan to out Joe Wilson's wife, leading to, according to some press reports, the death of 70 agents. She was not just a CIA agent. She was a CIA agent who regularly made overseas trips under cover of business and was working on counterterrorism. This is no small thing. It looks like Bob Novak is facing 3 years in prison, and Karl Rove, or whoever at the White House did this, is facing 10 years in prison. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Gary in Missouri is on the line. Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Gary. Nice to hear
you.
Yeah, I've
been listening to this whole thing, and I'm glad it's finally reared its ugly head. And just like in the days of Watergate, it may take a while, but, you know, once it comes out, you just can't hide it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, you keep in mind, Watergate came out before the, what was it, the 72 election or 74? I can't remember my years way, you know, back that far.
Yeah, I think it was the 72 election was when they did the actual break-in, just before the 72 election.
Right. And it was actually reported in the paper and all that kind of thing. It was a big news story for 3 or 4 days, and then it just went away. And if Woodward and Bernstein hadn't done their due diligence and hadn't really dug this thing out with the help of Deep Throat, who, in my opinion, is actually a composite of several different sources that they made up, but who knows. If they hadn't done this, and Ben Bradley hadn't been willing to stand behind him and publish it in the Washington Post, it would have been a three-day story, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was those two reporters who made this thing happen, period. And I'm wondering if there are investigative reporters out there who still have the kind of courage and support from a publisher that Woodward and Bernstein had.
Yeah, it's hard to say. The almighty dollar speaks a lot louder than a lot of editors do these days. That's the sorry thing. I just come to mind an old story. I don't know if it's or a quote attributable to Mark Twain or not, but it sure sounds good. Someone along the way once said that only one person can keep a secret.
Right.
Yeah, and if there are more than two people in on something, it's no longer a secret. And I think it's just a matter of time before somebody starts feeling awful guilty about this whole mess. And they're going to come forth and they're going to tell the whole thing like John Dean did. And
well, if Bob Novak is facing 3 years in prison, he might just say who called him to cut a deal. And you got five other reporters who apparently received these phone calls. I mean, why wouldn't they simply say, I mean, this is a crime. This isn't, you know, protecting a source. This is a crime. Why wouldn't they just say?
I don't know. Like I said, I think there's some large amounts of dollars behind a lot of this. And I think once you remove the dollars, you'll find out what's at the bottom.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The old frog walk, is coming.
Yeah, I'll have my TV set on to watch that one.
Yeah, that'll be worth firing up the video tape recorder for or whatever. Gary, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yesterday, this from the Washington Post on the Sunday paper. This is apparently, and there's several different articles in yesterday's Post about this, the feeding this frenzy here. Yesterday, a senior administration official said that before Novak's column ran, two top White House officials, now you don't get called a top White House official if you're some toady who's in the press office. We're talking about somebody like Scott McClellan or Karl Rove, somebody whose name you would probably recognize. That two top White House officials called at least six Washington journalists and disclosed the identity and occupation of Wilson's wife. This was happening here at the same time that in England, the Blair administration was disclosing the identity of David, what's his name? I'm having one of those senior moments. And so a source, now here it goes on. A source said reporters quoted a leaker as describing Wilson's wife as fair game. A senior official said, quote, it was meant purely and simply for revenge. Revenge? Joe Wilson actually doesn't think it was for revenge. He doesn't think that, there may be an element of it. But number one, he says he thinks that Karl Rove was behind it, and he has said it publicly, as you heard in that quote. Number two, he has said that he thinks, well, here's his quote. He said that if Novak's account is accurate, the leak was part of, quote, a deliberate attempt on the part of the White House to intimidate others and make them think twice about coming forward. Deliberately intimidate.
Somebody in our chat room, give me the name. David Wilson? No, it's Joe Wilson. Who is the guy? David Kelly. That's it. David Kelly. In Great Britain. Same thing happening. Isn't it interesting? Here you've got, as we talked about in our first hour, George and Tony getting together and saying, our political survival depends on not allowing the Iraqi oil to fall into the hands of France, Russia, and China, because what they will do with it is not under our control, and it will throw the world oil markets into a tizzy, which could be extremely harmful to us. Yes, we can also make some profit if we control the oil, but the most important thing is to be able to control the valve. How fast is it flowing? And then you got, but we can't tell people that. We can't tell people that we're going to go to war in order to protect the wealth of the United States and the United Kingdom. We can't tell people that we're going to go to war in order to protect our political futures, that we don't want to have another Great Depression. People won't buy it. If we said, hey, we're going to have a Great Depression if we don't go to war, what would they say? They might say, number one, nonsense. We don't believe that. Number two, that's no reason to go to war. Every nation in the world would condemn us for going to war for that reason. That's why they still can't say it. So they come up with what did Wolfie call it? Bureaucratic reasons for the weapons of mass destruction. Yes, indeed. And then a couple of people come forward who are on the inside and know that it's a lie. Joe Wilson in the United States, David Kelly in the United Kingdom. And what happens within days of their coming forward and saying to the press, this is a lie. Within days of that, these guys get eaten alive. In Joe Wilson's case, they go after his wife because he's retired. I mean, he's a retired ambassador. He can't be harmed. In David Kelly's case, they go after his career, his credibility, his reputation. If you've ever spent much time in England, you know how important one's reputation is there. In the United States, people are welcome to reinvent themselves constantly. We have great empathy for people who reinvent themselves, probably because we reinvented ourselves from being British to being Americans back in 1776. But in the United Kingdom, if somebody is shamed in public, it is not out of, you know, it is not beyond the pale to think that they might commit suicide. I mean, if David Kelly had committed suicide, if Joe Wilson had committed suicide over this, you'd have another one of these conspiracy theories like you have around, what's his name, Vince Foster. Because nobody could figure, you know, why? So he got outed. So what? That's not worth committing suicide over. But in the United Kingdom, it sure is. In the United States, it's a terrible and in the United Kingdom, it's a terrible and humiliating thing to be characterized as somebody who is disloyal, which is how Kelly was presented. I mean, he dragged in the press live on television. He had to testify in that parliamentary hearing, and they just ripped him up one side and down the other. I don't know if you saw the videotape of it. And what does he do? He goes home and he kills himself. Now, of course, there are some who think that he didn't even kill himself, that he was killed. But, I mean, the damage was already done. So here we have somebody in this White House doing this, and we have somebody in England doing it, at the same time, the same way, to the same people, over the same issue. Coincidence or conspiracy? Time will tell. Bush aides promise cooperation in inquiry. Today's Associated Press story here about Condi Rice. Picture Condi Rice. There she was Sunday talking to good old what's his name? Boy, didn't take my walk today. Names are not here. And what's his name? Meet the Press. Anyway, he says to her, Now, he brings this topic up, disclosing the undercover CIA agent, and says, what is this all about, blah, blah, blah. And she basically, she does this deer in headlamps look for a moment and says, I don't know. Oh, I got a note here on the screen. Jay says that Pablo just called and wanted us to know that Joe Wilson is on C-SPAN 1 right now. Now, as much as I wouldn't want to encourage people not to listen to my radio program, there it is. So now the blood is in the water and the fish are circling. So what does General Wesley Clark have to say about this right off the bat? This is too much for Attorney General John Ashcroft. Too much for Ashcroft. You can't trust Ashcroft with his no, he says. Wesley Clark says it strikes right at the heart of our ability to gather intelligence. He doesn't trust John Ashcroft to check into it. And then we've got Howard Dean weighing in on the thing. Former governor, Vermont Governor Howard Dean said the inquiry should be turned over to the Justice Department's Inspector General, who operates independently of political appointees like Ashcroft. And Representative Dick Gephardt of Missouri is calling for congressional investigations. Wilson said four reporters from three television networks called him in July and told him that White House officials had contacted them to encourage stories. Now, four reporters called Wilson, and Wilson is now saying Karl Rove was behind it. And he's saying, and by the way, I don't use that phrase lightly. I mean,
And trust me, when I use that name, I measure my words.
Yeah. What's up? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I have a headache. I will take Tylenol now.
It's easy to forget sometimes. You don't have to do things the same way over and over. You have a choice.
I always take Tylenol.
But you could take Advil. Advil Liquigels are proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
I need data.
Clinical tests prove it. Advil Liquigels, advanced liquid-filled capsules, rush relief where you need it.
So I have a choice. I can choose Advil.
When was the last time you rethought your pain medicine? For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
E, America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out, all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you Uncommon Sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Say what?
Straight to the heart of truth, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The midst of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. Will the Wilson affair be seen as a greater crime than Monica or covering up the Watergate burglary? Is there a cover-up going on? Keep in mind, in Watergate, the crime that Nixon really was guilty of wasn't so much bugging the Democratic headquarters. What they were going after him for was covering it up. Once the story came out, it was the cover-up he got nailed for. Here, this also from the Washington Post over the weekend. Tom Rosenthal, director of Project for Excellence in Journalism, says Bob Novak was, quote, in dangerous territory. Journalists should apply a civil disobedience test. Does the public good outweigh the wrong that you're doing? In a case where you are risking someone's life, potentially, or putting someone in danger, you have to decide what is the public good you are accomplishing. Because you have the freedom to publish doesn't mean it's necessarily the right thing to do. Bob Novak on the defensive. Be interesting to see if he's on crossfire today and if he's willing to address this. I doubt, because he was interviewed by Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post, and he declined yesterday to discuss the issue in detail, saying, I made the judgment it was newsworthy. I think the story has to stand for itself. It's 100% accurate. I'm not going to get into why I wrote something. Robert Novak now facing 3 years in prison and persons unknown at the White House facing the possibility of 10 years in prison. Will the Wilson affair be seen as a greater crime than Monica or Watergate? We'll find out. In the meantime, New Bridge Strategies, www.newbridgestrategies.com, a new company to help companies who want to do business in Iraq. And guess what? It's founded by Joe Albo. He's the CEO. He's the former head of FEMA, chief and staff when Bush was governor, and campaign manager for Bush Cheney 2000. Now it's his job to help privatize Iraqi corporations and bring companies into Iraq. Surprise, surprise. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the No Spoon Feeding Zone.
listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. U.S. troops backed by tanks and helicopters battled Iraqi resistance fighters this morning near the town of Khalidiya, west of Baghdad, and the U.S. military announced a series of raids aimed at those responsible for attacks against Americans north of the capital. Villagers said the clash began after Iraqi resistance fighters fired rocket-propelled grenades at an American convoy. U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad said they had no information about the Monday raids. To the north, the U.S. 4th Infantry Division launched 24 raids in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit and other areas, arresting 92 people and seizing weapons and ammunition. Washington, D.C. is wondering which top-level White House officials are responsible for revealing the identity of a CIA agent, touching off a firestorm of controversy and a possible Justice Department probe of the leak. Unnamed officials revealed the identity of the wife of Ambassador Joseph Wilson to six journalists in June. Wilson was sent by the CIA to Niger in 2002 to investigate a report that Iraq was trying to obtain uranium, but returned to say it was highly doubtful. The Washington Post reported on Sunday that two top White House officials called at least six Washington journalists and revealed the identity and occupation of Wilson's wife, apparently in retaliation for his conclusion, which undermined the position of the White House. President Bush's aides promised yesterday to cooperate with a Justice Department inquiry about the leak. An internal assessment by the Defense Intelligence Agency has concluded that most of the information provided by Iraqi defectors from the Iraqi National Congress was of little or no value. In addition, several Iraqi defectors brought forth by opposition leader Ahmed Chalabi invented or exaggerated their credentials as people with direct knowledge of the Iraqi government and its suspected unconventional weapons program. The information from the INC became the linchpin for the Bush administration's case for the war with Iraq. The White House disputes the DIA's assessment. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An American soldier stationed in Iraq married his Italian fiancée in a Montana double proxy ceremony that neither attended. Private First Class David Gaynor's parents exchanged vows Friday for the absent couple. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Remember that scholarship you were hoping for to help pay for your son's college?
Hey, Bill!
kids running the wrong way.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. But there is something you can count on. We're College Loan Corporation, a company dedicated to helping you finance or refinance your college education with interest rates as low as 2.63%. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE today and find out how you can take advantage of the lowest interest rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you, information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions and, thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else, a fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Exposing the con in conservative. How much damage has the Patriot Act done to American democracy? How much damage? Let's just quickly review some of these things. Actually, before I get to that, I just wanted to tell you, I just got in the mail today a copy of David Corn's new book, The Lies of George W. Bush. Over the next few weeks, we're going to have Howard Zinn on, we're going to have Paul Krugman, we're going to have David Corn on talking about his books, The Lies of George W. Bush. And, boy, does this look good. I was just looking at it during the break, and I look forward to having him on and getting into that in more detail. This should be something really, really great. Anyhow, the United States Constitution, when the Constitution was put together, when the Constitution was first put together, a copy of it, Thomas Jefferson was not involved in writing the Constitution. He was in France. He was the U.S. envoy to France. And kind of the equivalent of the ambassador, I suppose you'd say nowadays. And James Madison, who was the principal person responsible for the writing of the Constitution, Madison had taken about 3 years out of his life
prior to writing the Constitution, and in particular the last year, just before the Constitutional Convention, and absolutely immersed himself in all these books that he could find about how a country or a nation could write a constitution. How do you put this together? How do you make a country happen? He probably became the most well-educated scholar of constitutional law and the history of constitutional law in the history of the world. He studied the Greeks. He studied the Romans. He studied the Iroquois Confederacy. He the breadth of Madison's knowledge at that point was just truly mind-boggling, and you really get it when you read his writings. There's a collection of his writings called A Message to my Descendants or to My People or something like that. I'll have to dig it out. Anyhow, there's a great little collection of Madison's writings. And, of course, there's the Federalist Papers. He wrote about two-thirds of the Federalist Papers. Excuse me. And Madison had you know, these guys, they got together, and the key thing here was to say historically, for the 7,000-year history of civilization, from the time that Gilgamesh, or Gilgamesh, depending on how you pronounce it, rose up in Sumeria, in what is now called Iraq, in the ancient city of Uruk, about, 70, 80 miles northeast of Baghdad, from the time that Gilgamesh first rose up and created the first city-state, and his story was recorded, and he went up into what's now Lebanon and cut down the cedars of Lebanon to get the wood to build this mighty city. And in order to do that, he had to cut off the head of the forest god Humbuba, who was protecting the forest. And the great god of gods Enlil was so angry about this that he destroyed Sumerian culture. We know now, looking back on it at the archaeological record, what had happened was that they built this city and they had this elaborate irrigation system. And their primary food source was barley. And that by cutting down the trees to build the city, they created desert downwind, because trees are necessary for the water cycle. The trees actually bring water from the deep soil up to the leaves, where they evaporate into the air and form clouds and turn into rain 100 miles downwind or more. So number one, they create a desert. And number two, they so much salt ended up in their soil that the soil of Iraq could no longer produce crops, and people started to starve. And they interpreted this as the curse of Enlil, because Gilgamesh had had the audacity to cut off the head of Humbuba, who was defending the forest. And this is the Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest known written story in existence. It also has the story of, I think his name was pronounced Amunetep, something like that, who was told by Enlil to build an ark and to put two of every animal in it, and that a great rain was going to, and that this happened and all that. And it's interesting reading these, really, because this precedes the Bible by 1,000 years or more. But anyhow, Madison became an expert in all this stuff. He studied Gilgamesh. He studied the Sumerian Empire. He studied everything. And what he figured out, and what all the founders figured out, was that in every form of governance that they could see, with the exception of the tribal forms of governance that they found here in North America, in every other form of governance, rights were held by the government and distributed to the people at the pleasure of the government. The king held the right. All of the rights. The king held literally the right to life, the right to survive. The king could kill somebody and not be answerable for it. Could order somebody executed. Could order people imprisoned. Held the right of freedom. Could order people not to associate with each other. Could punish people for speaking. Could invade the privacy of people's homes. Could force you to take soldiers into your home and put them up and feed them. Could convict somebody of a crime without a jury of their peers. Could hold somebody in prison without having charged them with a crime. The king had absolute power because the king had the rights, and the people had only the privileges. And they found this in the three historic forms of governance that were represented from Gilgamesh 7,000 years ago all the way up to King George III in 1776. The three historic forms of governance being kings and warlords, kings who ruled by threat of violence. Number one, theocrats, those who ruled because they said God authorized them to, like popes, number two. Popes when they were politically active, as they were for a long, long time. And number three, feudal lords, feudal states, F-E-U-D-A-L, feudal states. And feudalism is, you know, in shorthand, you could say feudalism is rule by the rich. Feudalism, by the way, is at the core of the modern conservative agenda. This is what the conservative agenda is all about, is a return to feudalism. But that's another rant. You've heard it before on this program. We'll get to it in more detail some other time. But I want to talk about the Patriot Act and what impact it's having in the United States. And first, it's so important to understand how the Patriot Act affects our constitutional rights and understand where those rights came from. So Madison and these guys work out this Constitution, the United States Constitution. They put it together. They start out by saying in the preamble that there are seven core concepts. There are seven reasons why this Constitution was created. They are, number one, union, to create a union, to bring people together and to bring the states together. Number two, justice. I'm quoting, by the way, from Christopher Largent's The Soul of the Constitution. Chris is a brilliant guy who really knows this stuff. Number two, justice. Number three, domestic tranquility. Peace here at home. Number four, providing for the common defense, the defense of the country. Number five, the general welfare, to enhance the well-being of the people. Number six, liberty for ourselves, that is freedom now. And number seven, liberty for posterity, that is liberty for our children and their descendants. And they nailed these seven things in specific order, in this order. When they wrote the preamble to the Constitution, which reads, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Pretty heady stuff. These are the seven principles on which the Constitution is founded. And there are seven articles in the Constitution that deal with these things. And I don't want to turn this show into a seminar on the Constitution. But the point was that up until this Constitution was written in 1787, after the Revolutionary War, up until the time that this thing was drafted and finally ratified in 1789, as I recall, every form of government up until that time had said the rights are held by the government, whether it's the Pope, the King, or the local feudal lords. They hold the rights, and people, individual people, we the people, the middle class, the poor, the working people, the average Joe, whatever you want to call them, the serfs, the people do not have rights. They have only privileges, and those privileges are defined by the government. And what the founders said was, we are going to reverse that. We're going to take that pyramid and turn it on its head. And we're going to say that we, the people, are the holders of the rights. And the government, even, does not have rights. The government and any institution that we, the people, create, whether it's a corporation, a small business, a union, a civic club, even a government has only privileges, and those privileges are defined by we the people through our representative elected officials. This is the thing that the Ayn Rand folks miss. You know, Ayn Rand, of course, attended university in the Soviet Union and studied American democracy there and came over here and just thought it was all capitalism. Didn't understand this. So many folks on the right and some on the left, many on the left actually, don't understand this concept. This is the core concept of American democracy. So they sent this thing to Jefferson, this Constitution, which talked about that there would be three branches of government and how they work and how do we deal with the growth and the ideals and the whole, all this stuff. And Jefferson sends back a letter to Madison. I was just reading these things a couple of weeks ago. I'm working on another book here, The Athens Experiment, about this. And Jefferson sends back a letter to Madison saying, there's no explicit Bill of Rights. You don't say in here what the rights are that the people hold. And Madison sends back a letter to Jefferson saying, well, there's no need to. We all know that the people all have the rights. The government doesn't have any rights. The government only has the privileges we give it. And Jefferson writes back to Madison saying, yeah, we know that. But future generations may forget that the humans hold the rights. They may start to think the government has rights. And so it's important that we write down as many of the rights as we can think of and make them explicit so that future despots and tyrants won't have an opportunity to try and rip off those rights. And now it's happening. Now it's happening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. In Texas a few weeks ago, on September 6th, to be exact, according to the Dallas Observer, newspaper published in Dallas, Texas, Pavel Lutchko, a Russian student at the University of Texas at Arlington, he'd only been in the United States for a month, and he discovered what American freedom has become. Let me just share with you a few little clips out of this news story. On September 6th, Lutchko and his roommate, fellow Russian student Boris Avdiv, wandered on their bicycles into the employee parking lot of the Arlington police station looking for someone to give them directions. Here you've got two college freshmen at the University of Texas. They're Russians. They're exchange students. And they're riding their bicycles, and they see a police station, and they say, oh, well, let's stop and ask for directions. And they ride into the parking lot of the police station. Rather than giving them answers, says the Dallas Observer, police locked them in handcuffs, held them for questioning by an agent from the Department of Homeland Security, and charged them with criminal trespass. Here's how it plays out. Once on the lot, Lacho said, he and his friends spotted two police officers, a man and a woman near a building, which from the back looked like a modern glass and cement office building. First thing, he ordered us to stop, Lacho says. He says he explained that they were looking for the climbing gym. When they asked for ID, they turned over their UTA, University of Texas, at Arlington student identification cards, which were all they had with them. Lashko says, I heard the male officer say into his radio that we are Pakistanis. We said, no, we are not Pakistanis, we are Russians. Apparently that doesn't fly either. After about 20 minutes of standing with the police, he says, the officers took out their handcuffs and placed them under arrest. Professor Charles McDowell of the university's Russian department, the teacher to these two young men, says apparently they mistook, they being the police, mistook them for Middle Easterners, he says. Boris's complexion is a little darker than Pavel's. But neither of them looked like they could be Pakistanis or Palestinians or whatever the police thought. McDowell said the arrest is a serious matter for Lutchko, who came to the university on a prestigious and competitive Russian leadership fellowship sponsored by the International Research and Exchange Board, a Washington, D.C. nonprofit group. If they go ahead with this and he's convicted, he goes back to Russia, McDowell says. Lutchko, a 22-year-old who graduated from Russian University in July, said he was selected for the Russian Young Leadership Fellows for Public Service Program because of his academic credentials and volunteer work with a children's charity in Russia. He is taking graduate courses at the University of Texas in Arlington in economics, finance, and credit. They were held for 6 hours in the Arlington jail before they could call a bail bondsman. They had to post $750, $390 each to get out. The bond must have been more than that, because that's the non-refundable part. This is roughly half of it will be refundable if the students appear as required. This, the symptom of this pervasive belief of conservatives across America
that we were somehow given rights by the Bill of Rights that can be suspended during time of war or whenever they feel like it. The Bill of Rights does not give us rights. The Constitution does not give us rights. According to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of the founding documents, we, through those documents, give our government privileges. So what of those privileges are the government using to infringe upon our rights? We'll go through it very quickly when we come back. By the way, if you've got thoughts on this, it's 1-800-TALK. Yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman on IE. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A close call for the Immigrant Workers' Freedom Ride. Two buses with the Immigrant Rights Caravan were detained by Texas Border Patrol agents outside Santa Fe last Friday. Riders refused to show identification to the agents and were released following a flurry of phone calls to the Texas Border Patrol. Organizer Claudia Medina of Albuquerque, New Mexico, says she hopes the ride will help reunite immigrant workers with family members they haven't seen in years.
Most immigrant families take around 10 to 15 years to get a petition through INS approved.
Caravans originating from 10 cities began the Freedom Ride just over a week ago. They'll converge in Washington, D.C. later this week to call for greater labor and citizenship rights for immigrants.
The resignation of New York Stock Exchange Chairman Dick Grasso for negotiating a compensation package worth nearly $200 million was originally seen as a step in the right direction toward cleaning out the overzealous greed in the stock market. But new details have surfaced that suggest Grasso's departure was more along the lines of a golden parachute. According to his contract with the NYSE, Grasso could still receive about $57 million on his way out the door. He's already pledged to forego $48 million of that, but that pledge was never formalized in writing. Even so, it would still leave Grasso eligible to collect $9.7 million.
No contract for food service and maintenance workers at the University of Miami of Ohio. 860 members of Ask Me Local 209 want a wage increase. Fewer than half of them earn more than $10 an hour. The workers went out on strike last Friday, and on Saturday they set up picket lines outside a football game against rival Cincinnati. No new talks are scheduled.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm driving my blue car, baby, down
down from the mountain so high. I'm driving my blue car, baby, down from the mountain so high. I'm driving my blue car, baby, coming down, gonna say goodbye.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The Patriot Act's reach has gone beyond terrorism. An article in the Seattle Times. And they point out exactly what where the Patriot Act has gone wrong. I just want to make this one point really clear before we take this thing apart. And that is that the Bill of Rights was not designed. And this isn't some wacko lefty theory. I mean, read any of the correspondence of the day. Read Jefferson's letters to Madison. Read Madison's writings. Read the Federalist Papers. Read the Madison's diaries from the Constitutional Convention. Read the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, were not intended to give you and me rights. The assumption was that you and I already have rights, that those rights are given to us by our Creator, that we are born with those rights, that they are inseparable from us. They cannot be separated from us. They cannot be taken from us. We hold these truths to be self-evident. The inalienable rights. That we are born with inalienable rights. They cannot be separated from us. And so what they did was they tried to say, oh, well, how many rights can we think of quick? Because we got to get this thing together. Because Jefferson was going to get the Virginia delegation to vote against the Constitution if there wasn't an explicit statement of rights in the Constitution. Here's the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. John Locke had been talking about the pursuit of property, the ownership of property. So, and just lest anybody make any mistakes, they came up with the first 8 amendments were specific things. Your right to privacy, your right to assemble, your right to free speech, the right to freedom of press, and all that sort of thing. And then the 9th amendment says, and this is the kicker, the enumeration in the Constitution, in other words, putting something here in the Constitution like we just did, of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. In other words, these aren't all the rights. This is just all we can think of. The 9th Amendment basically says, here, the preceding 8 amendments are about the rights that we, you know, right off the top of our head, we're absolutely certain about, but there's a whole lot more than that. And all of them are reserved to the people. The government doesn't get any of them. The 9th Amendment, and now the Patriot Act, chopping away at freedom of association to assist terror investigations. The government may monitor religious and political institutions without suspecting criminal activity. Without suspecting criminal activity. And what does the First Amendment to the Constitution say? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Congress shall make no law until the Patriot Act. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937 if you have thoughts on this. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut's on the line. Tim, always great to have you on the program. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Show.
Well, good afternoon, Tom. Yeah, I was very curious. I did receive an email from the ACLU endorsing the Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, who's a Republican and used to be the Libertarian candidate for President of the United States, their new Patriot Act. Have you heard about this?
Not only have I heard about it, but last either Thursday or Friday on the show, we did a segment called I Caught You Doing Something Right, complete with sound effects of them singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. And Dennis Kucinich was our man of the day for introducing that piece of legislation. Yes, I'm familiar
with
it.
Well, I'm just, in spite of all the other concerns that we have, and especially this spy situation, which is absolutely incredible out there, I'm just wondering about the very practical concerns of where the Democrats are on this kind of issue. I've certainly heard Greens, Kucinich, you know, Nader, and even people like Al Sharpton, but where are the rest of them as far as coming out, you know, formally endorsing this kind of legislation? Have you heard anything from these different camps?
The
people with the, quote, realistic chance of winning.
Sure. The only one who I've been able to get anybody from their campaign on this radio show. I mean, we had the California, the head of Kucinich's California mm-hmm. campaign on, and of course we know that he would repeal the Patriot Act in whole day one. We also, the only other candidate who was willing to put a senior campaign official on the program was Howard Dean.
Right.
And we had Joe Trippi on the program, who's the head of the Howard Dean campaign. And he said that he was pretty explicit about it. It's in our archives. In fact, I had to take that one. Actually, you can find it on the Dean for America blog. They have his interview with me on there, and you can listen to it.
Well, what I'm basically concerned about is, you know, whether it's someone like Wesley Clark, who I have absolutely no trust that he will protect my civil liberties whatsoever. You know, someone like this, you know, being out front on these kinds of issues. I hear a lot of, you know, the kind of sniping at the Republicans, but I want, you know, kind of some concrete promises, too, that you will stand for.
You'd like some sniping at the Democrats?
Yeah, you know, for the Democrats to even have a chance and snowball's chance in hell that they would actually get my vote. Because, coming out and making little jabs is not the same thing as I will change this about the Patriot Act. You know,
right.
The real specifics as opposed to the little sound bites that we get on the evening news. And is it time to start pressing these people, who one of them might actually defeat Bush in the future,
mm-hmm.
To say, you know, where do you clearly stand? Or is journalism, you know, so lost that we're almost asking for the impossible here?
Yeah, good
questions. It's that concerning to me that this is an issue with, you know, how many cities across this country have done this, you know, passed anti-Patriot Act resolutions. Here's something that is bipartisan. Granted, it may be from people who probably don't have the mainstream of the Republican or Democratic ear, but isn't it time for them, you know, for some of these candidates to start stepping out and saying, yes, this proposal. Maybe it gives too much credit to Kucinich. I don't know. You know, how politics.
Well, you know, I don't think Kucinich is alone in this, and I think that in fact, there have been a number of studies that have indicated that John Ashcroft is one of the most feared, not in the positive way.
Right.
I mean, you know, fear and loathing feared figures in America right now. I mean, average Americans, we used to be paranoid about J. Edgar Hoover when I was a kid, but, you know, even in his worst days, J. Edgar Hoover wasn't pulling the kind of stuff John Ashcroft is. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover was not keeping American citizens without, you know, ignoring 6th, 7th, and 8th Amendment rights, you know, holding them without access to a lawyer, holding them without being charged with a crime.
You know, but my concern is, and I'm in a liberal state of Connecticut, considered probably most people, you know, but I have a Republican congressman in my district that, you know, is all for the Patriot Act and all that sort of stuff. Are we going to?
How do you know?
I've heard him. You know, he's a former CIA man, as a matter of fact.
Well, that doesn't mean he wouldn't be in favor of civil liberties. I mean,
he's touting the Republicans and what a fantastic job. You know, it's the whole party line up and down.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and that's the kind of thing. You know, I have two concerns about that. Getting the Democrats on board, and then second, passing it with Republican approval too. Maybe Ron Paul, as a Republican now, you know, can have some influence. I'm just
Tim. Have you called the offices of your elected officials?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, talk about red baiting. Good grief! Greens in this area have been specifically targeting our congressman again in this liberal state. We can't even get the Democrats to, you know, challenge him seriously in this upcoming election. It's that kind of desperate. In a quote liberal state like this, that's why I'm, you know, I'm just fishing for answers right now. as to, you know, what, who is going to really, you know, stand up to these kinds of measures. But perhaps it won't be necessary because, you know, it's the downfall of the administration comes up with this spy scandal. You know, I smell blood
in
the water. I really do.
It's still absolutely necessary. Tim, thanks for your comments. I do appreciate your calling in. And there's a larger issue here, Tim, and that larger issue and more important one is that we wake people up to this fact. The reality is, and you've experienced it, the reality is that many of our elected officials don't realize that the Constitution doesn't grant us rights, but instead recognizes the rights that we had before the Constitution existed. And so we have the First Amendment right of freedom of association being stripped away from us by the Patriot Act. Freedom of information. The government has closed once public... I'm reading here from the Seattle Times article in the Patriot Act. The government has closed a once public immigration hearings, has secretly detained hundreds of people without charges, has encouraged bureaucrats to resist public records requests. Sensitive information has been removed from government websites. Freedom of speech. The government may prosecute librarians or keepers of other records if they tell anyone that the government subpoenaed information relative to a terror investigation. This is a clear and flagrant violation of the First Amendment. Right to legal representation, the Sixth Amendment, the government may monitor conversations between attorneys and clients in federal prisons and deny lawyers to Americans accused of crimes. This is unbelievable. Freedom from unreasonable searches, the Fourth Amendment. I got to find the amendments here and just read you some. I mean, this is... Amendment 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And now, under the Patriot Act, the government may search and seize Americans' papers and effects without probable cause to assist in terror investigations. Without probable cause. And listen to the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause. The right to a speedy and public trial. The Sixth Amendment. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. That's the Sixth Amendment of the United States. What does the Patriot Act say? The Patriot Act says the government may jail Americans indefinitely without a trial. And the right to liberty. Americans may be jailed without being charged or being able to confront witnesses against them. Again, a violation of the Sixth Amendment. Enemy combatants have been held incommunicado and refused attorneys. This is a crime. This Patriot Act is a crime, and the people who are perpetrating it are criminals against the United States Constitution. And they need to be outed. We need to say, you know, no, we can't, we will not allow this. And in fact, 175 towns, cities, and counties have already said that. They have passed resolutions and 4 ordinances in 3 states as well, covering now 20,883,062 people, saying, we do not believe that the Patriot Act should be the law of the land. And this is the key, Tim, to your question. What do we do about this? This isn't just our elected officials. Our elected officials respond to we the people. And we the people have to wake up, cut through the conservative lies, and make it clear to everyone that we the people are the holders of the rights. The government doesn't dispense them to us. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to be on the program today, Brian in Manchester's on the line. Brian, is that Manchester, New Hampshire?
Yes.
Hey, greetings to New Hampshire. I used to live there.
Yeah, how are you, .com?
Great. It's a great state. What's up, Brian?
I wanted to add, you've spoken about this before, but this Patriot Act, the Patriot Act is the Sedition Act of 1798 all over again, and I'd have to say that I think that Jacobin revolutionists of France, I think they're a far greater threat they were in that time than Al-Qaeda is ever going to be. That gets into my second topic, was about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his lame comment about you know, not allowing licenses to illegal immigrants in California, as if that's going to stop Al Qaeda. That's what the line of reasoning was by Chris Matthews yesterday on the Sunday morning talk shows. That the major media is it's so outrageous that they're lionizing this man as to some kind of Socratic rhetorician of greatness, a Churchillian orator, when the guy is barely legible, you know, even if they let him speak in his
well, he's
native
capable
language.
Of telling Ariana that he wants to stick her head in the toilet also.
Yeah, she at least, she has a tremendous brain on her shoulders. Ariana Huffington does that. She's a very thoughtful person. But talking about where you were today about that the government serves at our leisure, they're our public servant, even though, as Jefferson said, that the president it is the first among equals, he is the commander in chief. I wish that George Bush would have been something like that on September 11, 2001. But anyways, on Thomas Paine's book, The Rights of Man, if you ever look at the, I got the Dover Thrift edition of all these, that fits my, but there's still, everything's verbatim, it's a good version of the original.
Yeah, we got about a half a minute here.
Okay,
Brian.
If you go to part two and you go to section three and four of the old and new systems of government and of constitutions by Thomas Paine on the rights of man, and there's just tremendous talking about the evolution. This man was evolving democracy even further along, but these are contained, these tenets, in our own constitution and our own revolution and democracy, and that they don't need to be denude it the way the Patriot Act is doing it.
They cannot be taken from us. And in the Declaration of Independence, it says when governments become oppressive of these rights, it is the duty of their citizens to change them. And I'm suggesting that we change our government through the electoral process and that it can be done. And it's something that we must do if we love democracy and in a constitutionally limited republic. Thanks, Brian, for your call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the true people's radio. We'll be back after this break.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy Gummies.
Juicy Gummies?
That's right. Juicy Gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The Peach Rings, Froggies, Creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy Gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy Gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy Gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aw.
Well, this store here sells Juicy Gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over, the fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right.
Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the First, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, Eighth, and Fourteenth Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the No Spoon Feeding Zone. You're in the Truth Zone with Tom Hartman. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and by Joe McPherson in Atlanta and engineered in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder. And thanks for doing a great job running the board today, Steve. Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Billy.
John Ashcroft.
Hey, Billy, did you know that the Justice Department, within 6 months of passing the Patriot Act, started conducting seminars around the United States telling law enforcement officials how to use it for things other than terrorism?
I did not know that. They're really good.
Isn't that amazing?
The problem is, no, it's not amazing because this is the way they behaved from the very beginning. I just a cute little tidbit about John Ashcroft.
Yeah.
So, when the librarians, being great Americans, complained about this Patriot Act, and part of his response to them was to use the word hysterical. Now, Tom, what I want to share with you is that's a word that refers to hysterectomy, and it's a way in which people have attacked women. And because librarians have been traditionally a women occupation, words like hysterical are attached when people like John Ashcroft want to attack them.
Sure.
You know, language is very powerful, and Republicans and conservatives really know how to abuse it.
Oh, yeah. And Newt Gingrich taught them well. I mean, there was this enormous learning curve when Newt, the pseudo-college professor, came in and said, I'm going to teach you guys a little bit about neurolinguistic programming. We're going to talk about language.
Smart and evil. NLP was a very smart way for them to go. You know, in the Constitution, you mentioned we have to change the government by any and all means necessary.
Well, I didn't say that. The Declaration of Independence says that. I was very careful simply to say change the government.
The problem, of course, is what if you discovered a government that you didn't think was playing fair? In other words, they were doing things like not counting all the votes, not letting the black people get to the polls. Is there an any
Well, I think history has shown, Billy, history has shown that if we just out those people doing those kind of things enough times, we can eventually produce change. I mean, we have in the United States. I think we can do it again.
Unless they get really good at it. I hope you're right.
Yeah, well, they're working at it, and we do have those problems, and they apparently are very real, as you know. I've written about that in Common Dreams and other places, and
And we share the same concerns. But I think that we both hope for the best, and that's why we're that's why you're calling in, and I'm doing this show. So
it's
you know, we gotta spread the word. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate your call as always. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Anaconda.
Fudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Where? And what your animals Where? Do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z.